Now I think we're ready to sing. Yes? Okay. Go ahead, Michael.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder where it can come in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder where it can come in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you. You are king of everything. that's our heart cry today, Lord, that we just want to praise you and we want to honor you in this place, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. We thank you for everything, for your Son, for your faithfulness, Lord, for your name, Lord, that overcomes everything that we will face. Lord, in this time that we find ourselves in this world, Lord, I speak peace. May your peace and your power reign. You have already overcome. You have already won the war. We are already conquerors. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your grace.
place that you have a great name, Lord. The only name that can save us. The only name that can be spoken and the atmosphere changes around us. The only name that went down into the hell and got the keys and has overcome death itself. Lord, we stand in awe of who you are. We are in awe that we can be lost and then be found. We can be a sinner and then be redeemed. That we do not have to live in our old life. We do not have to believe the lies of the devil, Lord. But we have your truth every single day. We do not have to live in fear of where this world is because we know who you are. You are the way, the truth, and the life. The world and our circumstances do not define who you are. You are constant, always with us, Emmanuel. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All right. Prayer changes things, yeah? We saw evidence of that yesterday. People were kind of freaking out about the thing that happened over in Palmer. And when both sides pray, it changes the atmosphere. So that's what that's supposed to be about. And that's where I'll stop with that. Don't get all political. I'm not going to go there. It is kind of interesting since we've been videotaping. And, you know, it's one thing to listen to yourself audibly. You know, I used to listen to that. And even with that, there's still some times when you're sitting and listening to yourself talk. You go, God, do I really sound like that? Or do I really have those words I say, you know, those little catch words you have that you say, the ums and all those kinds of things. And there we go. I don't usually do that. And I'm going to start doing it all day, I'm sure. But it's interesting when I started to go watch it, you know how many ticks you have. So I watched the last 2 weeks of this last 2 weeks. I was like, man, I put my hands in my pockets a lot. And I'm like, well, there's a lot of things that I do. There's things you don't realize when you're not watching yourself. And I had a pastor buddy of mine come by and harass me this week. He's like, was your stand broken last week? I'm like, no, why? He goes, like, you were like down here, like, pull that thing up. I'm like, okay. So I'm going to pull it up today just for you. Oh, no, I won't go that high. But yeah, you don't realize those things. When I get intense, I don't think about what I'm doing. But it is kind of interesting because I noticed it too. And I was watching him like, dude, pull that up, stand up. What's wrong with you? So it is interesting. So if you've never had the pleasure of watching yourself on video, videotape yourself and go back and watch. It's highly entertaining. It was kind of cool this last week. On Thursday, my mom and dad celebrated 60 years of marriage. So that's pretty cool. So, you know, I know Zoom isn't something new, but it was the first time all four of his kids were on Zoom with my mom and dad. And that was highly entertaining. I love my mom and dad. Sorry, mom and dad. I know you're going to be watching this later. You might be watching now. Sorry. But, you know, I'm not techie, but they are less techie than I am. So it was highly entertaining as they tried to, their computer was working, but it was kind of grainy. So they could only see the person that was talking. They couldn't figure out how to get the galley, you know, option open. And I don't think it was, so my brother's like, well, take a picture. And so this is us trying to fix their problem with our phone. All right, we're going to call you and like, show me your screen with my phone. And it was highly entertaining. So they got their other laptop where they could see everybody because it had that option on that laptop, but the sound didn't work. So it was highly entertaining. I was dying, and my mom and dad are good sense of humor, so they will have no problem. I just threw them under the bus. But it's great because here's my dad and mom. They're in their 80s. And dad's still like, you know, he's like, man, I remember, you know, certain moments of that day 60 years ago. That's pretty cool. Because I'm only into almost 29, and That day's getting kind of hazy. I remember most of it, but the little details Dad was remembering and Mom was remembering things. And so it's just really cool to come from that lineage of 60 years of marriage. That's pretty cool. And 60 years of love and laughter and craziness, and to be on a phone call with my siblings and all my brothers, I don't know, 45 kids that he has or something. He's only got five, but it just seems like that. But, you know, it's just that cool to have that kind of relationship with our siblings and our families, and to have that kind of connection. And as much as at times it sounds like I vilify technology, it is nice to have that ability to do that when we're thousands of miles away. I mean, Ruthie and I were here in the same building, but we have a sister in Kodiak, and then my brother's in Indiana, Mom and Dad are in Canada. And that's a pretty cool technology. So we're going to try to do that a little more often, just purely because it's a lot of fun, and you know, we get to see each other that way. So anyway, we are in 1 John chapter 2, and it's kind of fascinating to me, the passage, a few verses that we're going to be looking at this morning in light of what's been going on in our world in the last couple weeks. So we are in 1 John chapter 5, verses 5, wow, we are in 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to get through this morning, I promise. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And we're just going to look at a few, just those three this morning, and we're going to look at some other passages that kind of support it. As you know, it's how I do things around here and how God leads me to different passages. And so we're just going to kind of break this down. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Isn't that an interesting verse in light of what's just been happening? Now, you could look at that verse and go, man, we shouldn't be loving those people that are on the opposite sides of our opinion. But that's not what it's saying, is it? But people I've heard, unfortunately, I've heard pastors preach this passage to say that. Don't love the world. If they're not a believer, if they're not following Jesus Christ, you should not love them. Well, that just violates the rest of the book, though, as we're going to continue on. That violates what we've been talking about the last couple weeks, right? Love as what? As we've been loving? As we've been loving. Wow, I am doing good today. Right? As we've been loved. So that, it's like, well, it's a contradiction. No, it's not a contradiction, because we're not supposed to love the world in the sense that we're not supposed to love the things that wrap people up. Right? We're not supposed to love the things that keep us away from following Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to love the things that take time away from and our thoughts away from a relationship with Jesus Christ, because in that place, then we're able to love as he's commanded us to love. And we're going to look at a couple passages this morning around that. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a pretty interesting phrase. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, very, very familiar passage. I'm sure most of us, or maybe a lot of us, have these two verses memorized. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable. I mean, you can tell I've got other version memorized, which is your spiritual worship. Do we? You know, the world is all about what is pleasurable. What is whatever feels good to you, do it. I mean, that's been an old thought for a long time, and it just continues to get worse. Whatever you want to do, whatever you feel like today, whatever gender you want to be today, whatever thought process you want, I don't care, whatever topic you want to pick, it's all about our are what we want to do with our particular moment in time, whether it's our thought process, whether it's our how we feel about things, whether it's whatever we want to eat or drink or sleep, whatever it is. Are we doing it, taking this thing into mind, like our bodies are a living sacrifice, they should be holy and acceptable to God? What are we doing with our bodies? I don't go down too far down this road because it points fingers at me. But what am I doing with my intake of food? The kinds of food I intake, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to stand up here and vilify pizza and sugar and all the good stuff because it's good. I'm not going to stand up here and promote, like, you know, anyway, other ways of eating that are healthy and good for you, right? Right, but at the same time, it's like, what am I doing? I've been given this body for service, for what God has called me to do in this place. And again, as I look at my mom and dad, as we talk to them, and they're in their 80s, and they're still going pretty strong. And they have taken care of their bodies, and they have served God in with their lives, you know, from the day that they gave their lives to Christ. That's an amazing thing to watch, and I know lots of others have come from those kinds of families, but maybe we are the first generation to start that process, and we're starting that generational blessing for our children that are coming up behind us. And I know we've talked about this a lot, and I'll keep talking about it forever until I draw my final breath because I think it's that important, right? But man, they have taken care of their bodies for service, for all the things that they have done, and genetically, from my father's side, we come from a long line of long livers, or however that goes, right? So my dad's in his 80s. My grandfather died in his late 90s. I had a great aunt that just passed away in the last couple of years. She was 102, still living on her own. I'm sure she had some help, but she wasn't stuck in a home. So I'm only halfway through my life, right? I'm only 50, so I got another 50 years at least, right? Maybe, I don't know. But I'm just saying, what if I don't take care of my body, the body's just going to break down. That's just in the physical realm, right? What am I doing with everything else? What am I doing? For me, it's more of the things that come through, you know, not getting wound up about what's going on around me in the life, in politics, and whatever it is. And that's why I don't watch the news hardly ever. That's why y'all got to tell me what's going on, right? Because I get so irate from either side, right? So am I presenting my body a living sacrifice to God? And then verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I was reminded again as I read this verse this week, that whole will of God when I was younger was a mystery to me. I was like, man, how can I know the will of God? Really? How can you possibly know the will of God? I mean, it's really clear. I mean, even this verse to me gives you what the will of God is, doesn't it? So by testing, which we're testing against Scripture and all that, but what is the will of God? What is good, acceptable, and perfect? There's the will of God. Says it right in that verse. What is good, and acceptable, and perfect? And I know some people in the world go, exactly. Well, this is good. This is acceptable. And in my mind, it's perfect. No. What is good, and acceptable, and perfect? Wind up with this. That's not my opinion, because I've had a lot of times in my life, and there's days where what I think is good and acceptable, perfect, isn't what God thinks is good and acceptable and perfect. And I have to come back to that place of, am I being conformed to this world, or am I being transformed by the renewing of my mind? Because transformation doesn't come with input from the world. Transformation of and renewing of my mind comes from daily digestion of the Word of God and assimilation into my heart and my mind so that I can, when I run into situations, when I run into things that are on Facebook, when I run into conversations that I have with people, okay, am I getting mad because it's a righteous indignation and I have that moment to speak into this person's life in a loving and kind way and take my opinion out of it? And is that easier or is that hard? It's hard. Unless you're super spiritual, then good for you. That's awesome. That's where we should be. Right? But so often we want to give our opinion and our experience, and like that's not being transformed, us being conformed to the world. Again, not vilifying this particular medium, but man, what do you think would happen if we just eliminated Facebook? Where people couldn't just randomly say whatever they want to without any kind of, you know, responsibility to their whatever idea they happen to have that moment. Right? So, here we are. Do not love the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Be in this place of transformation. And this isn't a one-time thing. This is a daily, every single day, every single moment waking up going, you know what, God, how are you going to transform my mind today? How are you going to renew my mind today? Because I want to have a clearer thought process than I had yesterday. And yesterday could have been really, really good. Right? But we're not going to get to this point where we reach this place of perfection here on earth. We're not going to reach this place of like, man, I'm going to think everything right every single time. No, it's this constant God working on us and us constantly coming to the Father and going, man, I want to be in this really sweet spot with you. Flip over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. Well, that's a pretty big jump. I don't know, that just kind of hit me. You desire, you don't have it, so I'm going to murder somebody. Well, what about, like, steal? I mean, come on, why do we have to jump right to murder? But that's what it says, so I just thought that was interesting in my own head. I was like, wow, that's pretty drastic. Okay. Anyway, so it says, you desire, do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that is, he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So man, as I was looking through this and God gave me this passage to go to this week, what causes quarrels and fights? It's because our passions are at war within us. It's our desires. Do we desire? What do we desire? What do we covet? What do we not have because we don't ask? And again, I've heard people talk about this like, oh, okay, he says I didn't ask, so I'm going to ask, but I still didn't get it. Well, it says you asked and didn't receive because you asked wrongly to spend it on your passions. Now, again, somebody could preach this and go, so you shouldn't have a nice house, you shouldn't drive a new car, you shouldn't have snow machines and motorcycles, and that's not what it's saying. But if all those things are your sole focus, you're working 7-12s, boy, I'm really getting mixed up today. If you're working, you know, a ton of hours just to support your habits and your toys and your big stuff because you have all these, you know, payments that you got to pay every month, that's not glorifying God. Right? And I know extremely godly people that have way more than they'll ever know what to do with. And what do they do with it? They give it away. If they got nice stuff, they're giving, hey, go use this or go do that or go spend time at my, you know, cabin on the lake or whatever. You know, they're using it to glorify God. So what happens? God gives them more because they can handle it. Right? And then you have the other people that are, they're scrimping and scraping and they're trying to look like this person because they see that they're, maybe they're not understanding that they're getting blessed by God. But they are being blessed by God because they're, look, this isn't ours. This isn't mine. God's making me a steward of it. Is our stuff controlling? Is our stuff causing us to want more? I got watching, I don't know why my kids are always laughing at me because I watch all these home improvement shows or they're rebuilding cabins. And this last one I've been watching this last week is, I can't remember the name of the show, but they go and rebuild these cabins in Maine.
and they redo them and stuff. And the Kevin Masters, thank you. So it's cool. That's a pretty small one. But a couple weeks ago, I was watching this one called Megadex. You guys ever watch that thing? It's called Megadex. The cheapest deck I saw built was $200,000. The most expensive one was almost $900,000 for a deck on a house that was probably $1 million plus or whatever, right? So people have a little bit too much money. I don't know. Or they were going, I don't know. I mean, the decks were cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I don't think I could ever justify spending $200,000 on a deck, even if I was using it every day, right? Certainly not $500,000, $900,000, right? And what got me, it was some of these were like summer homes or a weekend cabin. Like cracks me up, they call 4,000 square feet a cabin, but whatever. But all my point is, and I'm not vilifying these people, but I'm just saying they have a lot of stuff and they have a lot of obviously, you know, liquid capital to do that kind of thing with. And it looks awesome, amazing, but here's the thing. People that aren't in that position look at something like that and go, man, I want that. And they will go into debt. They will destroy their family. They will do everything to attain that position in life. And I guarantee you those people aren't happy. They aren't happy. So here's the solution. Here's the answer to not loving the world in a destructive way. Verse 7 of James chapter 4. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. When we submit ourselves to God and we resist the devil, we resist the world, we resist all those things that would take us away from our worship of God, when they would take us away from our intimate relationship with him so that we can plug into the source of life and knowledge and answers to all of our issues. That's it. Submitting to him is the answer. And again, you know, it's kind of in your face. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Well, that sounds like a good life to me, doesn't it? Right? Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Oh, great. Your joy to gloom. Oh, man, sign me up for that kind of life. No, but it's this place of like we get so, at least I can only speak for myself, I get to this point where I don't get to that point at times where it's like, man, I'm living this amazing, blessed life, and I am, but there's times on the things that should be breaking my heart aren't. Things that I've been seeing that this last week. It's like, man, there's a little bit of callous going on in my heart, and I don't necessarily know why. That's not because I'm not spending time with God, and that's like I'm not diving in, but just like I get weary. I think I'm just getting weary of the rhetoric. I'm getting weary of things that are going on in our world. I'm just getting sick of it all. Came home Friday and just kind of in a bad mood, and my kids were like, let's go to dinner, and it was great. We went to dinner, but it was just like, I didn't want to talk about anything, right? I don't want to hear about anything. Let's talk about anything, but not what we've been talking about for the last however many months, right? Is it possible? That's really hard. It's like, you know, when my wife and I go on a drive, it's really hard not to talk about, you know, her work, my work, whatever else is going on. It's like, can we have a conversation about, I mean, not that I don't like talking about church and her work, but it's like it's really weird. What else can we talk about? There's lots of things to talk about, but I'm saying it takes that place of like, man, where am I with God? It's like, am I letting the world, the weariness of the world, just kind of callous my heart where, and I was having this conversation with Dawn last week of, man, there's pieces that I see in my own life that I'm getting a little calloused about, and they shouldn't be. And it's not, I believe it's from a place of protection and like, oh, I don't want to be impacted by those people or situations. And I'm still wrestling with Father to figure out all the causes of it. But it's good. It's good in the sense that I'm aware of it. So that's a good thing, right? But it's like, how do I dive in? How do I Father, every single day I want to be transformed. And whatever this is, I feel I'm a little calloused about, that I'm a little short with people, that I'm a little, I don't know, my snarkiness gets really ramped up when I'm in this place. And I can hurt people really easily without intending, and that's not an excuse. That means I need to do some work, so I'm not in that place. And I tend to handle people not the way that I should be handling them. So I need to dive into this place where I'm letting him transform my mind, that I'm letting him transform my life, that I'm coming to this place of humility before the Lord, that I'm drawing near to him in a way that I never have before, that I'm letting him cleanse those places in my life that I may not even be aware of cognitively and consciously of, like, well, there's this really big known sin in my life. To my knowledge, there's not any of that. But there's just, I think it's just weariness. It's not like I'm tired or worn out. It's not about that. I feel like I just need to hit my face on the floor a lot more. Literally on the floor of my office or in my bedroom at home or wherever God would have me go. Maybe that's my assignment this week. To press in a deeper way this week. We'll touch on verse 16. We'll finish this up next week. Verse 16. Of 1 John. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possession is not from the Father, but from the world. The desires of the flesh, and there's lots of verses that talk about that and things to kind of dive into that. But it's kind of interesting, the passage the Father took me to. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Confirm your calling and election. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We'll stop right there. It's like, well, how does this do with the desires of the flesh? And it's interesting, like, it seems like so too often we focus on, and the scripture talks a lot about things to avoid and resist and all those kinds of things. But I think too often, a lot of times, that gets too much focus. We focus on all the things we shouldn't do. We focus on, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if we focused on the things that God has called us to, those things we shouldn't do, it's just going to be a natural byproduct that we won't do it. So if I want to exhaust my energy, if I want to put energy somewhere, I want to put energy into, these are the things that God has called me to. These are the things that God has called me to walk in. And then I don't have to worry about what I shouldn't be doing. Right? So he's granted to us, and I love this, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You don't have to do it on your power, thank God. I don't have to do it on my power, thank God. Right? Because if it's up to me, I will mess it up every single time. If it's left up to me to speak a word to you or to speak a word to my wife or to speak a word to my children that is edifying to them, I will mess it up. But if in those moments I let God speak, he's going to impart some amazing wisdom. I'm going to be like, that was really cool, and I know that wasn't me. Right? But see, he's giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And again, through his knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. It's all through him. It's all through him. So we don't have to worry about getting it perfect. We have his power. We have his knowledge. And we have the ability. He's granted to us his precious, I love it, his precious and very great promises. So that through them I'm going to change the words. So it's saying, you know, we may become partakers of the divine nature. Are you catching that? We have the ability to be partakers of his nature. Are we not created in his image? Right? We're created in his image. And again, I believe with every ounce of my being that we have the ability to walk on this earth in his created design that he designed us with. Are we going to do it perfectly in a glorified body? No, we're not. We're going to get a perfect glorified body someday, and that's going to be awesome. There's going to be no aches and pains, no best messed up shoulders, no whatever pain that you might have. Those are mine. Running out of breath if I ran from here to the stop sign. I mean, they're going to be perfect, right? But we have the ability, I firmly believe, to walk in this amazing divine place because we're walking in his power and his knowledge. And we don't have to live in this place, in this world. And see, that's what the world needs us to do. They need us to walk in that place. That's not loving the world. It's actually loving the world in the right way, because we're walking, we're operating in our created design. We're operating, we're walking in our sanctified design. And we're going to pick this up next week, because I'm not going to rush through the rest of this. But I want you to leave just what Verse 3, go back and read 1 Peter 2, verse 3. 3 and 4. Take some time to think about that this week for yourself. What is Father saying to you when you read through that? That you really come to that realization that his divine power is in you. That you have everything for life and godliness in you to live every single day. And they need us. The world needs us to live in that place. They're not going to understand. They're not going to have a clue. They still won't have a clue when we live in that place. But at least they have wow, there's something different. I know we throw that around a lot, and I've used it a lot here. But it can't just be something that we say. You want to fix the race war? Here it is. You want to fix all the problems of our world? Here it is. The church needs to stand up and walk in their created design. That's going to fix it. And not buying into all the other stuff. I saw an article this week that kind of really drives that whole thing home. A little girl was waiting for her daddy. I don't know if he drives for UPS or whatever. And they moved to a new place. UPS went by, and she's like, well, that's not daddy. Or mom said something about that. If that was dad, she's like, nope, he's got more hair than dad. All right? The UPS driver that drove by that had hair was a black man. Her daddy was white. She didn't say the man that drove by was black, so that's not my daddy. No, he had more hair. That's what she saw. That's what we need to see. Whether it's not just about color. We make it about color, but it's really not about color. We've made it about color. We've made it about social status. We've made it about all these things. It's not about that. It's about the enemy coming in and trying to separate us from God. That's what it's about. Yeah. He's trying to get us all messed up, and it doesn't take him much. He just gets a little pot stirring, and he steps back. He's not driving it. He's like, oh, look, that's good. Let me stir that. Yeah, look there. Where you go? You know, just whatever. It doesn't matter. His divine power has been granted to us in all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have it all. So yes, don't love the world. Don't chase after the things that the world is chasing after. Because you know what? They're chasing after those things because they don't have God. They don't have an understanding of a created Father who designed them and loves them and will fill that thing that they're chasing and everything else in life. And we have the answers. So again, I encourage you to go back, read those verses that we looked at, but really camp on those two out of 1st, 2nd Peter. I see what Father will say to you. See what opportunities he will give you to give that away. Don't give it away too quick. So often God gives us something and we need to sit in it for a while. We need to make it part of our DNA. Yes. Where it's not just something we have memorized or experienced, but something that when it gets to be part of us, it's almost indescribable. We almost can't put words to it, but we know it's radically messed our life up. And that's when you're in that sweet spot. That's frustrating, but it's really cool. It is, because you want to explain it, and people write books about it, but man, I think when you really get to that point, you can't write a book about it, because it's this amazing place to walk with God, because he's given you all this stuff that he's given us. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you. Man, I thank you so much for everything that you've given us. And Father, I thank you that you've given us your divine power that gives us the ability to live this life, and we're able to live this life and with godliness, with your knowledge. And Father, I pray for all of us that we walk in this place with you this week, that we see the world through different eyes. And Father, this morning I pray that you will reveal to me or reveal to somebody else to tell it to me this week what it is that's that callousness of my heart or whatever it is that thing that's kind of got me jammed up a little bit. Because, Father, there's a sensitivity and a softness that isn't there that normally is. And I want it back. I want it back in full measure. I want extra. And I pray that for your people this week, that you give them extra, that you reveal to them more of who you are in very distinctive ways this week. And may we love the world, not like this, not like how we're not supposed to love the world, but let us love the world like you loved us. Gave yourself for us, Jesus. Let's love that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. is God alone. He is on the throne. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that he's unshakable, unchangeable? I'm glad I have God to believe in that's like that. Than the uncertainty of life. So I encourage you to go showcase the glory of God through your life to your realms of influence this week. You are dismissed.